What I'll be talking about today is a clinical trial that we did in Boston at what's now Boston Medical Center, but used to be called Boston City Hospital. And our first author, we were hoping she would be here today, but unfortunately she wasn't able to make it. I will do my best. As a presenter, I have nothing to disclose. There are a number of studies in adults using acupuncture as a method of detoxing from narcotics as well as other licit and illicit medications. But the effect of neonatal abstinence syndrome hasn't been studied in terms of using a CAM approach, and we're just starting to do that right now. Babies who are exposed while mom is pregnant to any type of opiate or prescribed narcotic, they're at higher risk of developing something called narcotic abstinence syndrome or neonatal abstinence syndrome that requires some sustained support. And so how this gets to be a public health issue is that baby has to stay in the hospital for sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks. And so heroin and methadone are the two most commonly used opiates that are associated with studying neonatal abstinence syndrome. It is an important problem. It's one that is coming to attention again in the literature. And basically, it's diagnosed in about half to almost 90% of newborns exposed in utero to narcotics. Clinical signs are usually immediate, but they can be somewhat delayed. And babies experience irritability, hyperreflexia. They cannot be consoled. They can't sleep. They sometimes have different types of seizures or convulsions. The whole gastrointestinal function is dysregulated in terms of no appetite, no sucking response, poor feeding. And so in this very important time of life, the first few days, baby is not getting the nutrition that baby needs to start development. And then there are various autonomic and metabolic disturbances as well. So babies may sweat, have fevers, have very unstable temperatures. And so with all the babies that we worked with in this particular study, they were all in a neonatal intensive care unit. At the time, most common approach of the hospital to deal with this condition, opiates, sedatives, clonidine, and then weaning from these particular medications that may be complicated because sometimes dual medications need to be used. The lengths of stay can vary a lot, up to a little over a month. And prolonged care, issues related to higher cost of care, not allowing mom and baby to start developing the relationship that you know, is so critical in the first moments and days of life. And of course, it's a cost to the healthcare system. So we did a randomized control study to determine if acupressure augmentation might be helpful to the standard approach of maintenance, and whether that might affect length of care, whether it would affect the amount of medications that the baby had to ingest in order to get to a state of being drug-free and healthy and comfortable, and how would this clinically affect baby's comfort level. So we were looking at all that. Favorable reports from adult addiction literature, mostly about acupuncture, and so we use that. In Chinese medicine and Asian medicine, we don't usually use needles with children under about the age of 7. And so using needles we didn't want to do, it seemed risky, and so we thought, well, let's just be a little bit creative here and work with some acupressure. But our clinical intervention was based on work of something called the National Acupuncture Detoxification Association. And so there they did have some experience with acupressure for babies who were born addicted to crack cocaine. And so we borrowed some of their experience. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the acupuncture literature, but there are 5 points in the ears. There's a point for the lung, liver, kidney, sympathetic nervous system, and a point called the palace of the spirit that's used to calm the spirit. So these were the points that we selected from. And so each of the days that we actually provided some treatment to the baby, we would base it on what kinds of symptoms we were told that the babies were experiencing. And these were the herb seeds. And you kind of can get an idea from this little holder about the size. It's about the size of a poppy seed. So, and there's no physiologic effect of the seed on the ear. It doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't leak out some of the substance. It just really stays a hard little seed. It provides pressure on these points to help baby detoxify. We did this study. Now, this is going to be something we may discuss more in our session at the end. Between 1992 and 1996, and it is not until now that it has seen the light of day, because we didn't get big effects, and because at the time we couldn't find a journal that would publish it. And so now we have finally published it, and if for anybody who would like to actually get the citation or a PDF of the whole article, I'd be happy to give you that. So we were in the inpatient pediatric service of Boston Medical Center. We had 76 newborns who were diagnosed with neonatal abstinence syndrome. And bottom line, all babies who participated in the study got standard medical maintenance. So it would have been highly unethical to deny that from anybody. So everybody got that. Randomly, we decided who gets the acupressure intervention and who didn't. And so the main outcome measures that we looked for: length of stay, what was the average score that the baby got, and the amount of pharmacologic support. So again, the idea is we want to get baby out quickly, safely, healthfully, and without having too much pharmacological support, because babies have to detox from these medications in the same ways that their moms did. Demographically, our randomization worked. There were similar characteristics between moms and babies, and I will tell you what those were in just a minute. We did Apgar scores at 1 minute and 5 minutes, and also something called the Finnegan NAS score that scores the level of detoxification that the baby's experiencing. For mom, we looked at age, race, ethnicity, HIV status, use of drugs and alcohol during pregnancy, methadone dose, urine toxicology, number of prenatal visits, homelessness, and incarceration. All these factors could potentially affect the detoxification of baby. For baby characteristics, we looked at gender, birth weight, gestational age and size, Apgar scores, urine toxicologies, and HIV status. On the HIV status, at the time, much of the data were missing. So that was really a problem that we found later. We didn't get any significant statistical results in terms of differences. But length of stay, average score, and the amount of medication were all less for the babies who got the acupressure. Not statistically less, but clinically less. And we'll actually, I'll give you an idea about some of what these p-values were. So again, small study, small sample size. This study was actually not funded. And my colleagues and I were able to do it because of our affiliation with the hospital. We had our IRB support and review. But, you know, we did the best we could with what we had. So, again, depending on mom's level of methadone dosage at the time of birth, that had a small effect on how long it would take baby to detox. Baby boys take longer to detox than baby girls. We found this out. Now, statistically, again, we got some significance there, but I would be very reluctant to say this is the final word on it, that the sample just wasn't big enough. Percent of care on medications. So the idea here is that we want to wean the baby off the medications and so have less time on that. And again, the group that got the acupressure care had slightly less, and the average dose was connected to the length of the stay. So again, the acupressure played an important role in that. So from a statistical point of view, we didn't see differences, but we found out this was very feasible. And in fact, it was quite incredible. We only had one refusal of a family who didn't want to participate in the study, and that was the very first folks we approached. The family said, well, how many other babies have you seen to do this? Mm-hmm. And we had to honestly say, none. They said, well, okay, we'll pass on this one. But at the hospital, we had an acupuncture detox program at the time, and so people were aware of it, both patients and staff, and there was a very high degree of acceptance. In all the studies that I have done since this time, there has never been such a recruitment rate and such a positive response to it. The intervention was very safe. We had no adverse events, and the acceptance of it was very, very high. And so this was an area that really made us happy. Study is limited, small number of participants. And with the acupressure intervention, maybe we didn't, we tried to start it as soon as we could. As soon as a baby was identified coming into the neonatal intensive care unit, we tried to be on it, but there were two of us, and sometimes we may have started a little bit too late. Maybe we didn't pick the right points. Maybe there were some points that we could have picked better. And for the group who was the comparison group, they were also experiencing being cuddled, being held, being touched. And so maybe we don't have the clean-cut comparison that we would have liked. And then we did have data missing in many of the areas, including HIV status and some of the other comorbidity areas. But the study strengths, we really felt that this was an important area to look at because it's a non-pharmacological approach to detox. So babies are already getting so many medications now that they're out and with us, and they've been exposed to opiates during much, if not all, of mom's pregnancies, that however we can intervene and provide some non-medical, non-pharmaceutical support, this is good. We had a great level of enthusiasm for the project from both the moms and the staff in the NICU. And we did have access to medical records, so we were able to get some of the information about prenatal, either dose of methadone or use of opiates. So basically, unfortunately, maternal use of opiates is still highly prevalent. And some of our colleagues who were aware of this study said, you know, you really should put this out there. Let's follow it up. Let's see what would the next steps be. And in fact, now at Boston Medical Center, we are in the steps of taking what we learned here and going to the next level with it. The interest in complementary integrative techniques is very high. Boston Medical Center is Boston's primo public health hospital. And so our population is not one that we think of usually as using complementary care and experience. So, and finally, drug-sparing strategies. So any kind of strategy that does not add more medications to the mixture is very much of interest both to moms and to the health system. And so we wanted to thank the National Acupuncture Detox Association, Terry Olson, who actually developed those charts of the ears, and all the staffs who worked with us at Boston City Hospital and the neonatal intensive care unit. So that's it. Any questions now, or we may need to? Thank you. Thank you. Yes?
I was wondering, how many children were in the study again?
76. And I think
what was the ratio of?
So it was like 39 to 37, yeah. Yes, Prasad.
A couple of questions, Ms. Evan, increasing my awareness regarding this. I just wanted to know, it is very interesting to note that you mentioned it's an unblinded study. I was really very amused by that term. Children, neonates, it would definitely be unblinded, but I think it is technically it is important to put in there.
Yes, that's a good point. So of course, the nursing staff knew. We had talked for a while about to have in the comparison group that we would just put little pieces of tape on their ear. But the IRB actually dissuaded us from doing that. So in some ways, although it might have been methodologically superior, they felt like, you know, these babies have to deal with enough. Why do you have to put tape on their ears when they're not even getting a real intervention? So thank you for that point.
Second thing is about the intervention. Could you please describe a little bit more whether you are pressing it once a day or whether you're just applying it or what we're doing?
Thank you. We actually applied it to the ears and fixed it to the ears with a small piece of surgical tape. And so each day we would use 2 points. So remember I showed you the selection of 5 points. Based on the symptoms the baby was experiencing, we would do 2 of the points. And so sometimes the symptoms were more digestive. Sometimes they were related to baby not sleeping. So it depended, and then we would change them accordingly. So we would apply them. We would press them a little bit, but then they basically just gave pressure on their own because they were attached by a small piece of surgical tape. But we didn't keep pressing. So that was. Some difficulty in figuring out, well, how much do we press and how often? But we thought if we keep it on there, it's applying pressure of itself. So we didn't do any additional pressure beside that.
How long?
For as long as it took to detox. So for some babies, that was 2 or 3 days at the one side. For some babies, it was about 5 or 6 weeks.
So when 6 weeks when they were released, does it mean that the kind of syndrome is completely cured and out? And are they?
Yes, once they're weaned of opiates in their system and they're no longer having any kind of symptom, then it's considered resolved. Yes. Okay, yes.
This is a really good study. However, as you know, it's fraught with the boundaries. So my question would be for you, if you were to do the study again, you know, what would you do to strengthen sort of your outcomes? I mean, what would you think would be best to do in terms of the next iteration of the study?
Right. Partly having more information, because we lacked information about confounders like HIV status and other activities that mom had been involved with. Now at our hospital, moms stay in the hospital with the baby. So it's very different from the time when we did this study and baby was alone in a little NICU crib. Mom is now there. I would actually argue this time around that we might put some of the little press, some of the tape on the baby's ears, because it might be a little bit of a cleaner study. In fact, we are trying to do the next generation of this, and so we're going to try to have it be more clear about the frequency of putting the ear seed on and how often that gets pressed.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You may see your effect probably greater in this next round. Mm-hmm. If you would do that clean cut, maybe even make it double-blinded, and you may see your values change.
Yeah. You know, I think because we didn't have funding for it, and it was really our first, doing any kind of intervention like this, there's a lot of things we could do better, and so I appreciate your input on
and
that.
And I think that's the just as a comment here, mm-hmm. I think that we struggle with using CAM and using, randomized clinical trials, and using this standardized methodology, that with CAM, you really have to tweak it a little bit, especially when you're looking at your effectiveness and those kinds of things. So, I applaud this and really would, look towards that next generation of studies, because I think accommodate, you know, the camp.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you. One more question. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think you will continue this and do a larger study, a follow-up study?
We do. Our colleague now, Paula Gardner, is a doc at Boston Medical Center in family medicine who specializes in care of infants. And so we are trying to get this to the next step. And right now we're looking for some funding.
You're looking for some,
for some funding.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you. Now, I don't want to take any more time. Thank you.